2013 was very, very good for Piper. The Citation Latitude achieves first flight, and Boeing's 777X production will stay at home. This is Aero News for Wednesday, February 19, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. Piper Aircraft achieved double-digit growth in new aircraft revenue and new airplane deliveries for 2013 in a challenging global market for aircraft sales. The company announced this on Tuesday. The growth was led by increases in the sales of piston-powered training aircraft. Piper ended 2013 with a 13% increase in revenue from new aircraft sales of well over $168 million. It was the second consecutive year of 13% revenue growth. The revenue increase was a result of a nearly 19% boost in new aircraft deliveries for 2013, up 30 airplanes to a total of 188. In addition to growing the sales of pilot training aircraft in the year just ended, Piper broadened its global footprint through the addition of international dealers and completed transformation of its entire aircraft product line to upgraded advanced Garmin avionics. The highly anticipated Citation Latitude mid-sized business jet made a successful first flight on Tuesday. The first flight of the Citation Latitude tested flaps, landing gear, pressurization systems, anti-ice capabilities, stability, and control. The test flight reached an altitude of 28,000 feet and attained speeds of 230 miles per hour. Cessna flight engineers said all systems are performing as expected. The aircraft was announced at the National Business Aviation Association's Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition in October 2011. Type certification for the Citation Latitude is expected in the second quarter of 2015. You know, one just has to wonder, what was all the fuss about? After battling its unions over keep-it-or-lose-it contracts, after the governor and state legislature conducted a special session, and after Boeing made a big show of courting all comers, production of the 777X composite wing will stay in Everett, Washington, sustaining thousands of Puget Sound area jobs for years to come. Boeing says it evaluated criteria that were designed to find the wing fabrication location that would best support the 777X business plan, and as Gomer Pyle might have said, surprise, 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 the choice was Everett, Washington. And of course now everyone is busy patting themselves on the back. Washington Governor Jay Inslee said, quote, "Today we gain certainty that Washington will remain the global leader in aerospace for decades to come, and that thousands of talented Washington workers will soon be fabricating the most technologically advanced carbon fiber structure ever developed," end quote. The selection of the Everett site for the 777X final assembly came after the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers District 751 approved an 8-year contract extension earlier this year. At one time, Boeing was allegedly considering more than 50 possible locations for the new facility, but it will be staying at home. The NBAA fully supports a decision by the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, which halts the most recent effort by the City of Santa Monica, California, to close down its airport. On February 13th, a federal judge ruled in favor of an FAA motion to dismiss the city's lawsuit, and thereby requiring the city to continue to operate Santa Monica Airport as a publicly accessible airport. Shortly before the court ruled, NBAA joined with the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association in filing a Friend of the Court brief supporting the FAA's position. NBAA President and CEO Ed Bolin said, quote, "While we cheer this latest victory in preserving a valuable Southern California airfield, we know that we must remain vigilant and focused in our work to preserve access to this airport and all airfields in our nation's aviation system," end quote. Orbital Sciences Corporation's Cygnus spacecraft, which delivered nearly 1.5 tons of supplies and scientific equipment to the International Space Station in January, completed its first commercial cargo mission to the orbiting laboratory on Tuesday. NASA astronaut Mike Hopkins used the station's 57-foot Canada Arm 2 robotic arm to detach and release Cygnus. The U.S. commercial cargo craft will deorbit and slip into a destructive re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere, where it will then burn up over the Pacific Ocean. When Aero News continues, reliving the magic of the space shuttle, seeking a new national leader, no, not that one, and waking up after a lie-in on the moon.
Renbird Flight Simulations is dedicated to revolutionizing flight training by designing, manufacturing, and delivering affordable and innovative flight training technologies. Each Renbird device is designed to enhance the training experience for pilots of all levels, from student to ATP. Renbird is quickly becoming the industry standard for flight training. Since Renbird introduced its revolutionary FMX in 2007, colleges, universities, and flight training operations around the world have integrated Renbird products into their curriculum. It's time to discover what Renbird can do for you. Join the migration.
ADS-B will be mandatory for most aircraft by 2020 in the United States. But you can benefit from ADS-B today with the Bendix King KT-74 Mode S transponder. The KT-74 meets the global mandates for ADS-B out when attached to a suitable WASP GPS and is plug-and-play, slide-in replacement for the Bendix King KT-76AC and KT-78A transponders. Aero News continues for Wednesday, February 19. I'm Glenn Moyer. Visitors to the National Museum of the Air Force will be cleared for liftoff when the museum's new space shuttle exhibit opens to the public on February 26. The exhibit, which features NASA's first crew compartment trainer, allows visitors to experience the size and shape of an actual space shuttle orbiter by entering the payload bay and looking into the flight deck and mid-deck levels. Other components of the space shuttle exhibit include two interactive space shuttle landing simulators, representative of a space shuttle commander's and pilot's stations, that allow visitors to test their own skill at landing a space shuttle orbiter. Future plans call for the museum to continue populating the exhibit with additional artifacts, things such as spacesuits, and to provide interpretive information about topics such as astronauts, space science, living in space, and the Air Force's role in space. The National Association of State Aviation Officials has announced that its executive board will establish a search committee for the association's next president and CEO. Meanwhile, the executive board confirmed Kim Stevens as interim president and CEO during this transitional period. Stevens joined the NASAO in March of 2013 as Director, Member Relations and Communications, and began his duties as the interim president and CEO on February 3rd. Before the selection process begins, NASAO members will have the opportunity to offer their own thoughts on what leadership qualities and values are most important to them in filling the leadership position. China's Yutu moon rover has apparently survived the frigid lunar night, but is not quite ready to go back to work, having had a nice long lie-in, according to the Chinese Space Agency. The rover reportedly woke up and sent a message to Earth last week, which was something of a surprise to the Chinese Space Agency. Spaceflight Now reports that officials say the rover is, however, still malfunctioning. Ground controllers confirmed that they had received signals from Yutu, or Jade Rabbit, last Wednesday, 2 days after it was scheduled to wake up after the long lunar night. The rover had suffered a mechanical problem just before night fell on January 25th, leading some at the Chinese Space Agency to be concerned that it might not survive the minus 290 degrees Fahrenheit temperatures that it would experience before sunrise on the moon. The Chinese news agency reports that now they know that the rover survived the night, it, quote, stands a chance of being saved, end quote. The mission was planned to last 3 months before the malfunction. Rover touched down on December 14th of last year. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.